Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. What an exciting program we have for you today. We're talking on my favorite topic, winning the lost. Praise God. We call this series Winning the World. Now, the one thing I want you to get out of this is that we don't go out in our own strength to win the world. We go out in His strength. The Bible says we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, that we shall be witnesses unto all the world. And God wants you and me to be a witness. Now, why should we get the gospel, we get born again, get in the family of God, and not bring anybody else in? Praise God. And you could start right there in your family. You see, they'll see the change in your life, and they're going to want to know what you've got. You say His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a powerful teaching. Get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Get ready to take some good notes. Let's go into it. It's called Winning the World. Look what it says here in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Now, Saul thought he was doing good, see, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, meaning any people, any believers, those that believe on the Lord Jesus as Messiah, whether they were men or women, he might haul them in. I want to put that word in there. Bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He's going to tie them up and bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, Lord have mercy for them suddenlies, there shined round about him a light, come on, from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecute me, thou me? And he said, well, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, what did he do? That was his encounter. A miracle took place. Somebody was praying for this man. Every one of us got in here because somebody prayed. Somebody prayed. That God can't arbitrarily just move in the earth without somebody praying, because the earth has been turned over to mankind. Mankind has the authority. God has to ask your permission for him to do things in this earth. Now, as far as destruction comes, you don't have to ask permission for that, because that comes as a result of sowing of seed. But for God to do something in terms of salvation and so forth in your life, he just can't arbitrarily move in on you. Mm-mm. He needs permission and participation. Say amen to this. I'm talking about big God. Now, you can keep big God out of your life. All you do is don't, your will is something he won't violate. So I'm saying here, look at Paul. Paul was deceived, taking Christians off to jail, but all of a sudden here comes a light. One translation says, part of the Bible says, a light brighter than the noonday sun. Now, what was that light? It was revelation. It was revelation. Now, Paul's receiving something directly from God. Now, how did Adam function in the garden? He functioned by revelation, not by information. Not by information. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that comes directly from God right into your spirit. Now, I want you to understand that with revelation knowledge, God downloads it. He downloads it. It doesn't come by your senses. He downloads it. And he can download 1,000 years of information in a second. Y'all got to get me now. Now, here is he downloading information to Paul. So it didn't come from man. It came from, directly from God, him telling Paul what he wanted him to do. And he brought this in. See, God gives it to you in the form of light, where it says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, that's the prayer I pray every day in Ephesians chapter 1, because I want revelation. I want that revelation to come into my life every day. I want the download. I don't want to know what you want. I want to know what he wants. I want to know what the download is. Are you with me? My Lord, have mercy. Okay, so let's continue to read on Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians chapter 1. Are you there? All right, look what it says here in verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me. Underline son in me. He didn't say son for me. He didn't say son around me. He said son in me. That I might preach him among the who? Heathen. Heathen meaning the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with what? Flesh and blood. Now, what is Paul doing? He's about to break tradition here, but he's not going to ask his mind what his mind thinks about it. He's going to only do what God has spoken to his heart to do. Now, understand, up until that time, the Jews saw the Gentiles as dogs, as ignorant, as untrained, and so forth and so on. But what Paul also was going to do is he was going to do something different in terms of the work of God, because up until this time, God was in a box. He was behind a curtain, he was in a synagogue, he was in a tent, and they controlled where he would go. Now, this is what happened with the Jewish people with the traditional thinking. Now, what God's got to do is he got to get out of that box and he got to get into the world. Now, understand that this, what I'm telling you here, is God's original intent for us, is for us to be in fellowship with him. That he wants us to live with him on his level. That's his original intent, to fellowship with Adam. Now, because of mankind being lost, God's got to get him back. But the objective is still fellowship. So he's trying to pull us back up to where we can fellowship on his level. Now, that fellowship, out of that fellowship, everything goes. Everything, Lord have mercy, y'all sit with me. Out of that fellowship, everything comes. My revelation from God comes out of my fellowship with God. Come on now. Everything, your healing, your house, your deliverance, everything can come out of your fellowship with God. See, a lot of people are trying to seek the things and not seeking the one who knows, does the things. And what we got to do is we got to, he was bringing us back to him. Now, here's what I'm saying about God being in the box. Now, over there they had God where? Where was God before? God was in a temple. He was in a tabernacle in the wilderness. He was out there with Moses and them, and God was in that tent, in that tabernacle. That's where God was. That's where God appeared, okay? Now, my point is, he was all those places. But in the New Testament, Paul got a revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. All right, look what it says. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth where? In you. Let's go to another place. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look what it says here in verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the what? Temple of the what? Living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will what? Walk in them. I will be their God, come on, and they shall be my people. Now, notice what we're doing now. We're taking God out of the box. We're taking God. See, some people think they can't meet God till they come in here. You can meet God anywhere. You can meet him in the phone booth. Come on, you can meet him in the lavatory. Come on, you can meet him, come on, down there at the job. You can meet him anywhere because he's in you. See, this, he revealed to Paul that he was in him. Come on over to Colossians, please, and Colossians chapter 1. This is one of the greatest revelations that Paul came up with that I want you to see. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the who? Gentiles, which is what? Christ where? In you, keep going, the hope of glory. So where is he? He is in you, and he is in you in the person of the Holy Ghost. Now, what happened is the enemy wants us to keep Jesus or God from being public. You ever ask folks, say, hey, what religion are you? What do you believe in? They said, now that's personal. You ever heard that? That's the devil's work. God wants to be shared with everybody. Now, my point is this, is that that's what they did. That's where he was. He was in that place. But the New Testament, he comes out of there, and Jesus began to be public. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, please. John chapter 1, he began to be public. Now, the enemy didn't like that, so he is trying to get somebody to kill him. Amen. So look what it says here, and look at verse, glory to God, where are you now? John 1, in the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was what? With God. Keep going. And the Word was God. So if I got the Word, I got who? If I got God, I got who? Going down to verse 14. And the Word, come on, was made flesh, come on, and dwelt among us. Now, the Word made flesh. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. So Jesus, the Bible says, he said it was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You follow what I'm saying? See, the flesh took on a human form, and the Word was in there. See, God was in him reconciling the world. Now, Jesus is in you reconciling the world. Come on now. All right, let's go to one more place. Let's go to John's Gospel and John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let me know when you get there. Amen. Amen. John 14, verse 10. Believeth thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that what? Dwelleth in me. Keep going. Now, who's doing the work? The Father's doing the work. Now, who's in you? The Father's in you. Who else is in you? Jesus in you. See, the Holy Ghost brings the presence of all them in you. And so when they're in you, they're going to do the work. But what you got to do is you got to go out so they can do it. Because they need your body, your arms, your legs, your mouth to do what they need to do. Say amen to this. So the revelation was, he's in me. Now, what happens is when religion came, they put the Word back in a book. But Jesus made the Word become flesh. And God doesn't want the Word again back in a book. He wants it in your heart. He wants you to have, Lord have mercy, y'all follow me. He wants to show out. But he got to show out through you. So it's not you going to heal the sick. He going to heal the sick. You going to lay hands. I told you when I was in Minneapolis, the first crusade we ever had outside, and this lady was coming in, and she seemed to be, I think she was Filipino background or something, but somebody brought her to the meeting, and she had a terrible problem with her skin. It was itching and so forth. I mean, she was just in torment. And after I finished preaching, I then went and touched her side of her face, and immediately, boom, that thing was gone. She said, what? You healed me. I said, no, ma'am, I didn't hear you. Jesus hit. No, Jesus didn't. You heal me. You see, I'm the only one she could see. But he's in you. Once you get born again, he comes night. He's no longer in a box. He's no longer in a tent. He's no longer behind a curtain. He is now in you. Your body has become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now be my witness. Show them that I'm not dead. I'm just as alive as I was 2,000 years ago. And what I was doing then, I'm doing right now. Lay hands on the sick in my name, and they shall recover. Now, you don't need to be concerned about how old you are. Honey, I'm too old to do that. Jesus ain't no older than he was before. He just needs your hand and for you to shut your mouth. The only thing you speak is his name. You lay hands on the sick in his name and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And let the healer go to work. Be my witness.
That's right.
You give proof that he's alive. I wrote something down here, and I'll just read this. You go to any nation, and you stand on the platform and call the believers in other religions and teach them and preach to them and tell them the things Jesus did before they killed him or he died. And when that happens, that tell them he's alive today because the Bible says so. And if he's alive today, he'll do what he did before they hung him up on that cross. Pray, and then let the miracles happen. Say now is that Jesus is alive, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the book says that if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we shall be saved. Now, I'm just saying that somehow we'd have gotten away from the miracles. Because if he's the same, he's a miracle-working God. I look back in the Bible, Genesis, and God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. He was 100 years old, his wife was 90, and never had a child. But what happened? A miracle took place. Sarah got pregnant. Then he went on, and I saw in the scriptures where, over in Exodus, where Moses stretched out a staff over the waters of the Red Sea and they split. I went and saw over in Numbers chapter 21 where they were bitten by snakes, and he said, if you just look up on this pole that I had Moses to wrap a brass serpent on it, you'll be healed. I went on and I saw in Joshua, he said, if you just march around this place 7 days, and Joshua did it and shouted, and it fell to the ground. I went on to Judges, and I saw where Gideon had 32,000. But God says, Gideon, you got too many for me. So he had Gideon to get rid of all but 300. I'm sure in Gideon's mind, he wondered, how is this going to happen? You ain't got to happen. Just don't doubt. Just let God do what he's going to do. I went on in Esther. I saw Esther was called for such a time as this. She went into the king, and she wasn't even called in there. Nobody goes in there without being called, because you'll get your head chopped off. But Esther rose up with the anointing of God on her. Come on now. I saw in 1 Kings where a woman who only had one meal left, she had to feed herself and baby Huey. And so next thing I know, the man of God said, feed me with that one. And when she fed him with that one, the next thing I know, meals started multiplying. She ate for a whole year. I saw in 2 Kings chapter 4, I saw the woman, her kids were about to be taken into bondage. But here comes a man of God. She cried to him and said, wait a minute, my husband served the Lord. He said, what can I do for you? He said, go in your house. What do you got left? She said, well, I done sold a TV set. I done sold everything, but I got a little oil left. He said, that's all you need. It's just a little oil. I'm telling you, saints, that oil represents the anointing of God. All you need is just a little oil. What I saw is this right here. If you're full of the Word of God, then only the Word comes out. If only the Word comes out, then it's only what God says come out. Saints, it's a miracle book. Somebody tried to put God back in a box. But let me tell you, He's counting on you and me to take Him public. It's time for the world to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Now, this is a time of giving. This is a time of sowing of seed into the ministry. Now, what we do is we actually have partners and those who are believing in what we're doing to actually sow a seed. And we take that, of course, and use it for the expenses of not only expanding the broadcast, but changing people's lives, because that's what it's all about. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm reminded of a story back in 1 Kings chapter 17, where the prophet of God was on a mission from God. And God told him this. He said, now go down. There's a widow woman down there in Zarephath. I've spoken to her to take care of you. Now he went down there and did that. He obeyed God. Now, of all the people for God to send him to, he sent him to a widow woman. That is probably one of the poorest people in the community. He didn't send him, you know, to some rich billionaire. He sent him to a person who had just one more meal left. But what she had was faith. And that's what he needed to not only sustain her, but him as well. So as he went down and she fed him her last meal and sowed it as a seed, then the meal began to multiply. And she and he ate a whole year off of one meal. I'm just saying, you may be in a little shortage in your life. Well, here's your man of God. I'm saying, if you sow a seed, as you do into this ministry, God said this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a person sows, that shall they also reap. So it's time for you to get out of that financial bondage or tight place or those overwhelming bills. Sow your way out. I did the same thing, and many before me that taught me did the same thing. You can actually sow your way out of a financial deficit. This is God's way of doing things in the kingdom. So I ask you, if you believe in what we're doing, if God is speaking to you, maybe you want to be a partner, maybe you want to hook on with us and be a monthly giver and so forth and support this ministry going out. Maybe it's a one-time gift, but whatever it is, I'm asking you to listen to God and just obey Him. Guaranteed, you'll be blessed. Well, if you have your seed ready, let me pray for you right now. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray for all these who are listening and in the sound of my voice that you speak to their hearts. And Father, give them instructions as to what to give, how to sow. And Father, I pray that you measure it back to them, multiplied return, that every need of theirs shall be met. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for believing in us and helping us to take this gospel to the nations of the earth. Guaranteed, not only will you be blessed in the earth, but your reward also will be in heaven. We love you. Bill Winston saying, keep walking by faith.
Attitude. It's how you think or feel. Attitude. It's your state of mind. Attitude. It's how you view the world and everything in it. Before you can start winning the world, you must have the right attitude.
Before you take a look at the world, you got to take a look at yourself. Because the attitude that you have about yourself affects what you think about other people.
Dr. Bill Winston reveals the power you have to change the world with this dynamic three-part series, Winning the World, The Right Attitude. Order your copy of Winning the World, The Right Attitude today, and Dr. Winston will explain the importance of thinking the right thoughts about yourself, others, and winning. The power you have to demonstrate love. Your ability to bring men back into right relationship with God, and much more.
You cannot save the world if the attitude that you have about the world is wrong.
To order your copy of Winning the World, The Right Attitude, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.billwinston.org.
The Living Word Prayer Ministry is offering a 10-week intercessory prayer class beginning May 7th. This training course will help you grow in your personal relationship with God through prayer. Class topics include how to pray God's Word, how to listen for the Holy Spirit and follow His promptings, the various kinds of prayer, such as the prayer of petition, prayer of dedication, prayer of praise and worship, and much more. Classes begin Saturday, May 7th at the Living Word Christian Center Auditorium, 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Classes are free, but registration is required. For more information, call 708-697-5061 or register online at www.livingwd.org. Dr. Bill Winston presents Living Word.
Flavor ain't fair, but it sure feels fabulous.
With the new CD entitled Released.
We are speaking over you tonight. You are officially released.
Live music recording of a new kind of kingdom music. Released. Available now at Royal Christian Bookstores and Cafes in Forest Park, Illinois. Online at www.billwinston.org or call 1-800-711-9327. Also available on iTunes. A new kind of kingdom music.
Pastor Bill Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center, located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.